Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I'm your host. I want to thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you for listening, sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. The show's going very, very well. We have over 550,000 listeners. And you know what? It's growing from there. We just got re-added to the UK Health Radio Network and have expanded to 85 countries. So the distribution is going very, very, very well. And we want to thank you. So you know what? We're adding more tips to the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page. So you can always go there for financial tips, everything from dealing with 401k mishaps, how to reduce your debt, all sorts of things. On top of that, we've got a great lineup of guests for you. Today, we have real estate expert Glenn Hendren. He's going to give us the rundown on real estate market for the latter half of 2021, because we want to see what's going to go on. Glenn's going to provide it with the insight, emerging trends that you need to know that could make or break your real estate experience, whether you're buying or selling. When viewers found out Glenn was going to be back on the show, I mean, by popular demand, Glenn's going to be talking about the five components you need to do in order to sell your house for the most amount of money. Today, I'm going to be giving you some simple debt management strategies that'll make a difference so you can live the life and have the retirement of your dreams. Always better to earn an interest than pay an interest. I know a lot of you were thinking, hey, I'm looking forward to listening to Todd Palmer. He's wrote this best-selling book called From Suck to Success, A Guide to Extraordinary Entrepreneurship. What a hero's journey he's been through to make life work for he and his family. And on top of that, he's going to help you with what do you need to do to go from being laid off due to COVID to being that top candidate. But we have a wonderful replacement for you. We have Wayne Dunlop. Wayne and Pat Dunlop are the number one travel blockers, according to Travelocity, okay, for baby boomers in the world, which is outstanding. They have hundreds of thousands of people following not just their Facebook, but their blog called unhooknow.com. Why? Because they talk about routes of travel. People discuss their travel experiences. He also talks about where you can go to get the best deals. Now, Wayne's going to be talking to us about, hey, what's going on? Some travel strategies to have a good experience at a lower cost. Always, Wayne has that best-selling book called Plan Your Escape. It's about how to travel the world for less than what it costs at living at home. We will be playing some of the excerpts from his last interview, as well as asking him some questions. So you'll want to stick around for that. Now, with that, I'm going to welcome Wayne Dunlop here. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Glad you're healthy. Glad Pat's healthy. And you have a grandchild.
We have a new one, 2 years old. It's a cue's a button. I mean, he's getting us all to fall in love with him so easily.
So how many things have you already bought for? A couple thousand?
It's insane. It's insane. You know, my son has given us permission to spoil the heck out of her.
That's your job. So do it. The cool thing about it is you can get them all wound up and leave it when you're done. Okay.
We get them sugared up when they get older too. We call that revenge.
Remember when you went out late? Hey, you know what? I love this idea of following a disaster. And the reason why I love it is because I've utilized it. And I was planning a safari to South Africa. When you go on a safari, you're going in the outback and all that kind of stuff, not in the big cities. So there were some issues that were happening with some riots and thefts and things like that in the cities of Johannesburg, but that meant a lot of people weren't going to travel. So what I did is I followed the disaster, and we flew into Pretoria where there was no disaster, and then went to our safari, and we saved thousands of dollars doing that just because people weren't there. And the reality is we probably had one of the best tours there. The only bad part about it is the camera that we had broke, and we didn't realize realize it, which is a bummer because we didn't get the pictures. But all I got to say is every time I go on that trip, every time I start talking about the animals and what we saw, I get goosebumps because it brings it all back. So you know what? I want to thank you for joining us again. Could you tell us about the follow the disaster strategy?
Yeah, you know, thank you for introducing that. It, as you mentioned before, after we retired, my wife and I traveled the world for a year. Then it turned into 4 years, and there was no way that we could afford travel the same way we were traveling on our 2 week vacation. So we had to come up with new ideas. And as a former economics professor, I just applied economics to travel. The most powerful tip that we can provide is called follow the disaster. And it was written up in the Wall Street Journal, so it's that powerful. And let me give an example. After crises around the world, for some time, people are reluctant to travel there. So again, a perfect example is our trip to Thailand. The tsunami that wiped out Phuket, about half the travelers from North America and Europe canceled the trip to all of Thailand. So we started at Bangkok, 500 miles away from Phuket, and worked our way north to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. Had a lovely trip, no incidents of the thing, and we got the trip for about half the cost. And we went to Fiji after the bombing and Bali, after their issues. Here's the thing. The COVID crisis is offering amazing follow disaster deals. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about that.
Well, please do.
Well, you know, travel providers like hotels, cruises, tour operators, et cetera, are hurting because no revenue is coming in. The travel industry may have been hit the hardest of any industry in the world. Mm-hmm. As you might expect. And these people feed their family, they pay their mortgages, do all the things that we do by their business and hospitality, and they're hurting. And so what they're doing now is offering some very, very good deals for 2021. And we're excited because we're getting a little disappointed there because we're travelers and we're not traveling. But now we got some things to look forward. We've booked a couple of them. But here's something that's so unique about the COVID crisis that followed the disaster we've never seen before. They also are offering amazing refund policies. I mean, they realize that people are going to be really hesitant at the book. And so what they do is up to a certain date, you can refund and get all your money back, any deposit you put down. And that is for no reason. You don't have to have a doctor's excuse. You don't have to break your leg or get trip insurance. You can just cancel just if you change your mind. And we've got two trips going on, one in April, one in November. And the April one, we are getting a little worried with the resurgence of the concerns about COVID. And so we're looking at that cancellation date, and we're just going to cancel it. So it gives us all this confidence to put some books in trips in our hopper so we can start looking forward to. And, you know, one thing I always tell people when you get these follow disaster kind of opportunities like the one we're seeing with COVID, there are trips that Pat and I want to take, and there's no way we could afford them. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful trips, but they're very expensive. But if you can get a half-price deal on a luxurious trip, you might want to consider taking that trip of a lifetime. And so we booked a trip in November for my birthday on Oceania Cruises. Uh-huh. Oceania is probably one of the most luxurious and most expensive cruise lines in the world. But we got a deal that probably is less than half price. And so now we're going to take an upscale luxurious cruise booked out in November.
So basically what you're saying is these... And I understand it because basically, if you have a socially distanced business, it's Amazon, okay? They don't talk to each other. People order, it's out. But if you're in a business that requires social interaction, like going out to a restaurant, retail, travel, concerts, I mean, you know, you have the company Live Nation. They live off concerts, but they haven't been able to have one since February. And basically, the same thing's happening here with travel. I mean, there's one cruise line that's actually giving people free travel to test out their COVID precautions. And you're like, wow, I can get free travel for that? So, you know what, how long do you think these bargains will be out there before things start changing? So is there a limited time for that opportunity?
Yes. Excellent question, Steve. Thank you. That's very astute. There's a lot of things in life, what we call a sweet spot, okay? When the concerns and the issues go down for COVID, you know there's going to be a huge pent-up demand of people traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Discounts are going to disappear because now they don't have to discount, right? So you want to get on board, but you also want to have a time of a viable trip. Now, we booked this one in April. We thought that was pretty safe, but now it's looking less safe. So what I'm looking at right now is summertime 2021 to be that sweet spot. That is a time, I think, with the increased availability of vaccines, Starting up possibly this month, and by 6 months from now will be widely available. Also, we'll be out of the standard flu season that these kind of viruses become more viral and stronger. So in summertime, I think that's going to be a really good time. So we can look for deals that we could book now for next summer of 2021, get the deal and still have a viable trip that you're probably going to be able to take. And so that's a good thing. Also, I wanted to talk about a way we find deals.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Now, we have resources because we're travel writers. We've been in the industry. We have a lot of resources. But there's one that we've used a lot. And it's very effective. And it's called TravelZoo.com.
Okay, so that's TravelZoo.com. Okay.
TravelZoo.com. And what they do is that as a travel writer, I got to take a trip with two of the professionals from TravelZoo. And these are very dedicated professionals to their craft. And they vet all the companies they recommend. They go on those trips and they work with these companies. They know they're decent companies are not going to go bankrupt. And so what they do is, but every provider, even without COVID, they know there's certain times a year they can't sell their product or there's crisis come up. And so they offer discounted availability to discounters like TravelZoo. And TravelZoo has tremendous deals. And so you don't have to take them. Just sign up and start looking at them. They have international deals. We just, last year, we went to Italy on a TravelZoo. We've done domestic deals. We went up, saw Mount Rushmore and some other things. And when this podcast is over, just go in and sign up for TravelZoo.com and you're going to start seeing some really good opportunities pop up. And then, of course, there's many places else that you'll see good opportunities.
Okay. So now, when should people be planning their travel to take advantage of these travel bargains? I mean, do you think this is going to be viable all the way through 2022? And you know what? So would it make sense if people are looking for the opportunity to travel to book it somewhere between mid 2021 all the way through 2022, 23? How long do you feel it'll take for people to be comfortable enough to get to a point where they're traveling like they were in 2019?
Yeah. Well, if we all had a crystal ball, Steve, then I don't think we need your financial
I get it.
Nor would they need mine. Here's the thing. COVID is a unique situation. I mean, I don't think the world has experienced, the modern world has experienced anything like this. I mean, it is, and there's a lot of concern and fear going on because of COVID. People don't want to get sick, et cetera. And so it's hard to tell. And so we're booking deals in 2021. I haven't seen a lot. I've seen a couple now in 2022. That seems pretty far out. Now, if you can get a deal, a really good deal, for something summer of 2021 and beyond, and maybe in 2022, why not?
Oh, yeah. Well, regardless of what you do, it's like...
Get this generous refund policy, and why not book it? I think it's a great opportunity for travelers to put some things into their booked bucket list and look forward to travel.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just thinking while you were talking, and go, it's almost like Cyber Monday, like 40, 50, 60% off. Why wouldn't you? I mean... Yeah. Ever since COVID started, I know people who have actually redone their wardrobe because they're only paying 30 cents on the dollar. I have a friend of mine who buys, you know, $200 and $300 shirts. And he goes, Steve, I've been paying $60 for these things. And I was like, hey, if you can do that with travel, that's even better. Because quite frankly, depending on how far they go, I would probably end up booking for the next year and a half or two if I could.
And you can save money on travel more, or just save money, or you can splurge. And so that's what we're doing. And I wanted to say, before we sign off of this whole idea of fall disaster, a lot of people look at it and say, well, aren't you taking advantage of people? These poor people, they're not getting paid as much as they used to. And what I have to say to that is that we've done a lot of fall disasters, the way we were able to afford our around-the-world travel for 4 years, among a lot of other tips that we have. But when you get out there in one of these situations, like when we went to Bali after that bombing, and then we went to Fiji after the coup, and we went to China after SARS, and the Thailand trip I told you about, people were so appreciative. That's the best way I can say it. They feed their family by travel. That's what their business is. Mm-hmm. When nobody travels, they're hurting bad. So here they have a hotel that's getting no money, and now they're getting some money for that hotel room. They're excited. They're so appreciative that they can't. They bend over backwards for you. So follow the disaster is so wonderful because it's a win-win situation. us travelers get a chance to get a benefit of great, great travel bargains, and people start getting some revenue that support their families. It's really good. That's why we think that travel, a follow disaster, is just one of the best travel ideas, because people wait too long after a crisis. You certainly want to follow the disaster.
Wayne, I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to need to take a break.
Yeah.
Jack, in just a few moments, got to pay some bills. Stick with us. We've got more of Wayne Dunlop.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome everybody back to the Saving with Steve. We have Wayne Dunlop. He is that travel expert that's going to help people save thousands of dollars. You know what? I want you to think about this. His book's called Plan Your Escape. It's the secrets of traveling the world for less than what it costs of living at home. Wayne, when did you write that book?
Well, it's getting a little dated. It's about 6 years old now, but the tips in there are timeless.
Well, and you know what? Here's the interesting.
We keep updated information on our travel blog that we'll talk about later.
Okay, perfect. But one of the things I want to say is it sells really well on Amazon because people are still finding it. I've actually spoken at events about the Saving with Steve side of things, and I've talked to people about your book, and I go, how many people know about it? About half the room raises their hand. So,
and we don't promote it. It's all word of mouth because it's just chock full of ideas.
Well, here's the cool part. One guy that came and met with me afterwards, he brought the book, and he has probably 18 or 19 different, well, it's probably a lot more to tabs all over the book. And he goes, oh yeah, we just use this one and this one. And so all I got to say is this.
Music to my ears.
It's still selling. It might be 6 years old, but the ideas and the strategies in there will make a difference in your life. And when it comes to saving with Steve, it's all about saving you money and getting you more for what you're spending. So you know what, on the second part of the show here with Wayne, let's talk a little bit about how we can do local travel within this COVID environment. So, I'd love to have you share some stories like that.
Yeah, great. You know what happens in the last segment? We talked about booking some travel for the future and getting some things into your travel folder and things to be to anticipation and finding some great bargains and with generous discounts, generous refund programs. But, you know, I talked about maybe we should do it next summer, right? Well, what about, we've been not traveling for months, and now I'm talking about not traveling for 6 more months. Those travelers with itchy feet, I'm going to offer a different idea. People come to your town and your geographical area from all around the world. They spend a lot of money to fly there, and they're tourists. And what we suggest is maybe you can have a local trip, a local vacation, and be a tourist in your own area. And we just came back from a really nice trip just like that.
Where'd you go?
Well, as you know, we live in San Diego in Southern California. And we have a wine country called Temecula that's right down the street. It's about an hour and a half drive away. And back from LA, maybe 2 or 3 hours. And Temecula has developed beautifully. And we found a really atmospheric little inn, beautiful inn. And we had a private romantic dinner made in our room for us. I mean, how safe is that? I got a lot of points from Pat for that.
That's like bonus land.
Yeah. And the thing about that is that we got away from home. We had a travel experience. Temecula has lots of things going. They have atmospheric wineries you can do wine tasting in. There's balloon rides. There's gourmet restaurants. You can sit outside overlooking the vineyards. And I bet everybody, wherever you're from, whether it's Chicago, New York, or wherever you're from, there's areas in your geographical area you've been thinking about. You may have taken a day trip or heard about it, but go and spend a two-day trip out there is a lot different than you can explore and be a tourist in your own area.
You know, that's wonderful because I actually live in Temecula, so I know what you're talking about.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
We've experienced the wineries. They have, you know what, and I actually know about the inn you're talking about. It's a wonderful place. And you know what, the nice thing about right now is you can get some really great deals if you're doing just that. We had some friends of ours just go up to Big Bear.
Yeah.
And they went to the zoo, they went hiking. It was one of those things where they were able to get away from LA. And you know what? They rented a pontoon boat and just hung out on the lake for the day. It was great.
And the nice thing about local travel, you get a travel experience, and you get a travel experience that other people are paying thousands of dollars to come do it. And you have minimal packing, no plane ride, and there's no security lines or COVID concerns at airports, et cetera. So for a fraction of the cost, you can enjoy a travel tourist experience right in your own area.
Oh, yeah. You know what? What other ideas can you offer local travelers?
Well, there's a couple ideas. One thing is that it's very popular for people that do this is called stay vacations. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I have done these a few times. And what you do is you not necessarily travel outside your town or your city or whatever. You find something cool, atmospheric within your town. For example, here in San Diego, we have a little area called Little Italy. And it's right next to the Embarcadero with seafood, Italian food, and then it's right next to downtown with bars and other things. And so you could go down, rent a little hotel room for a couple nights, explore the area, and I'll tell you, you'll find out a lot more things to do and a lot more things about your own town and have a lot of fun than if you just went down there for a day trip or you just went down there for lunch or something like that. So you can either stay at home, which some people do, but there's always that project comes up. There's always that. So we like to get a little hotel room and think about the cost savings. Instead of having a massive packing concern and flying and all that other planning, we're there, minimum packing, no flights, minimum cost. And we're having a unique travel experience within a couple of hours.
So what's so how do you research for places to stay?
Yeah, good question. Excellent question. One thing that's so lovely is that we have a thing called the internet. And the internet has just so much information. It's just voluminous and it's wonderful for travelers. So here's what I did. Simply, I just went to Google or whatever your favorite search engine and type in day trip San Diego or day trip Chicago, day trip New York, whatever. And you'll see a host of ideas that are coming and just sit there and read and talk with your travel partner, spouse, whatever, and just come up with some ideas and then go from there.
You know what? I think it's real interesting that you're saying that because I was just talking to my folks who live up in the Northern Orange County area. And they like, oh, you know what? We were getting, what do you call that, cabin fever here in our house. And they took a drive just down to Newport Beach at the coast there. You know what? It's changed a lot. We walked around, checked out the boats. It was a great little day hanging out type thing. And they said, you know, it was great for curing our cabin fever.
It is. And you know, people ask me, how do you find places where to stay on a stay vacation or a local vacation, a trip or whatever? And we used a couple of resources very effectively. One is called Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And Airbnb is, most people I ask about it, I get almost a near 100% people like it. And what you do is that the people rent out their little room on the side or they have their own little second house that they have, et cetera. And then you can read all about it. But the fun thing about it is it's all peer reviewed. So the higher peer rating, the more bookings they get. So they go out of their way. They have a little book there. It shows the local restaurants they like. It shows the things to do. They give you their phone number if you have any questions. You don't get that from a hotel.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The second thing is like we like TravelZoo, like we mentioned before, and you can put in a local. So we typed in San Diego in TravelZoo, and it also gives us local deals as well as domestic and international.
Oh, okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, if you're going to look to travel air travel right now, what airline are you looking at? When's the best time to book air travel, especially during this time?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question. We're looking at like this April trip. We're looking at different airlines. And what happens is that all of a sudden we'll be looking at something about ready to book it, and then what's in the past, they canceled the trips, things like that. So all the airlines are up and down right now, and that's why I'm suggesting for longer-term travel, maybe next summer, then the airlines are having lots of availability. If you try to book some of these airlines today, you're going to have some really tough times. Now, I just saw Southwest just came up with tremendous bargains. I mean, my wife just showed us, and she said, we got to go. I mean, it's like $80 round trip to someplace. And so it's going to be up and down. And everybody has their own favorite airlines right now. It's hard to say which one is best. And it's also going to be what the rules. The one thing about the airlines, too, they're claiming that they've got enhanced filtration systems inside there. I guess the UV rays and stuff like that. So the viruses are not going to be recirculated as much as maybe people may think. They're saying that air traffic is, the airline industry is kind of claiming the air traffic is rather safe. There's very little evidence of people coming off of airplanes and getting sick. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. This is what I'm hearing. And so, you know, you hear this good and bad, and we're getting optimistic about the future.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Wayne. As always, thank you so much for sharing these wonderful strategies for people, how they can save money, how can they can get out of, you know, avoid cabin, you know, resolve their cabin fever virus by just getting out and do a staycation. And you know what? I think it's wonderful that people can save thousands of dollars looking at the travel and traveling the dreams that they have, or the fulfilling the travel dreams they have. So I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been wonderful.
And we have another second mention travel blog. Okay. One thing is that we've done is quickly, we have a travel blog called unhooknow.com. And what I want to do is that we make no money doing this. It's a retirement give back. I did a couple of computer startups. So we're doing this as a give back to the world, is to help people travel the world. It's called unhooknow.com. There's 250 places that we've blogged about with history and pictures. So you can travel virtually right on our travel blog. And the tips that we talked about today are augmented by a bunch more tips about how to save money and enjoy travel more. So that travel blog is called unhooknow.com. And everything on there, we get no endorsements. We get no money to say or endorse any of those things. Those tips are the same tips that we use to find bargains and deals that you can use. So it's a very, very good website resource.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us again. Please go to unhooknow.com. Wayne, you have a wonderful, safe year, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Well, I hope to see everybody on the road. Okay.
Right. Hey, we'll be right back. I want to thank our sponsors like iTunes and Stitcher, as well as BBS Radio, UK Health Radio, as well as 24/7 Radio. And stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. We just had Wayne Dunlop. Again, we're looking forward to rescheduling Todd Palmer, the CEO and author of Success, he's got some great information. We're looking to hear from him. One of the big things that we want to talk about is simple debt management techniques. See, here's the big thing. Debt's a wonderful tool, providing you use it to gain wealth, like buying a house, renting a car, floating a business, you know, financing life insurance. But when debt's not properly managed, the result is financial stress, lower credit scores, higher interest rates being paid on debt. In some cases, even bankruptcy, even seeing people not be passed over for jobs because of debt stress. I'm going to walk you through how a military family that I work with, we were helped them to reduce and eliminate debt, how you could use that for reducing your credit card debt. Here's the situation. We work at a place called Outreach Farm, and they set aside a few acres to grow fruits and vegetables for a food pantry in the local area. Now, we go there, donate our time on Saturdays during the summer because we look to help. We had met a military family out there, and they basically gave up their summers to go on vacation because they couldn't afford it. And they thought the best way to do that as a family would be to go and work at the farm to help people who are less fortunate. One of the days we went to lunch afterwards and started talking to them, found out they hadn't been on vacation in a while, and they agreed to allow me to help them find a way to reduce their debt, reduce their expenses, pay off some of their debt, and help them put them in a position where they go on a trip. I asked them to list all their expenses, break down things like your cable between your internet and the packages, break down the things like your food, whether you're eating out, what are you eating out? How are you getting coffee? Is it going out to a restaurant, whatever, fast food? We were saying, hey, break down the gas and the miles you drive. List all your expenses from food, utilities, your mortgage, the whole shot, your auto and homeowners insurance. We did the whole thing. One of the things that we did is we started breaking that down and say, hey, what can we do to help you save money? First thing was gas. He drove a truck back and forth 70 miles a day, which was the round trip. And think about that. On a 5-day work week, that's 350 miles. For him getting 12 miles to the gallon, he went through a couple tanks a week. Okay. If you think about that, it's $120 a week, $480 a month. That's a lot of money. His wife drove a Prius and she only drove about 5-6 miles a day. Tops, just back and forth between where she worked. And quite frankly, it took her a month and a half or so just to go through a tank. So what we did is we said, hey, what if you were to switch that? Drive the Prius. Guys might give you a hard time, but you can save a heck of a lot of money and let your wife drive the truck. Okay. Once his wife got over the fact that she could drive the truck, it was a big game changer. Saved him almost $200 a month, a little more than $200 a month in gas. Great game changer. We found out he's a military person and he isn't using USAA for their auto and homeowners insurance. By doing so, it would save him another $100 a month. When we looked at the cell phone bills, we looked there with the major carriers. They're just coming to the end of their contract. And guess what? We found a subcarrier that was on the same network as that major carrier, and they get the same service, the same data, same cell plan for $29 less. That was a $58 savings for them on a monthly basis. We started looking at their mortgage. Hey, they're paying, they had a high interest rate. We were able to save $900 a month just by changing the mortgage through a rate and term adjustment to their current mortgage provider, which worked out really well. In fact, it took them just a few weeks to get that done. And then we started taking a look at the type of food they have. They ate a lot of salads. Hey, great, but they were paying prepackaged salads at $4 a piece. They found out they could buy the lettuce, buy the dressing, buy the cheese, buy the nuts or the fruit that goes in there. It saved them almost $100 a month doing it that way. Wow. And then we looked at eating out, simple savings. They would buy coffee on the way to the office, on the way home, or throughout the day. They figured out that they could buy a Keurig cup, you know, the Keurig cup, use that and a coffee mug to drink their coffee through the day. They go from $3 a cup to 40 cents, but saved another couple $100 a month. All in total, we showed them how to save a little more than $1,600 a month. But here's the thing. They're all still doing the same stuff there before. They're just paying $1,600 left, which is great. Then they have the ability, and you do too, to use that money to pay down debt, contribute to your 401k or IRA, contribute to travel. What they did is they started setting aside $400 a month so their family can go on a 2-week vacation every single year. They started setting aside another $300 a month to pay down their credit card so they wouldn't have any credit card debt, so they didn't have to pay as much interest. And third, they used the balance of it to commit to contributing the dollars every single month to their 401ks and their TSP programs. By doing so, they were still able to have all the fun they were doing, having more fun and going on trips and travel, but now they're planning things better. You can too. If you have large credit card debt, it's real simple. It's just called a snowball method. You list all the debt. I always go from smallest to largest. don't worry too much about the interest rate, but I need to know what the balance is, the minimum payment, the payment dates. Those are the most important things, because what we do is focus on making the minimum payments on everything. And then we put as much as we can on the smallest one. We get paying with that. We take what we're paying on the smallest one and add it to the next smallest one and keep going. The reason why I start with the smallest, because I found that I need momentum quickly. So the quicker I can pay things off, the better. Some people like to start with the largest balance. I just like to start with a little balance. It's your call what you do. Because one of the things you got to remember is this. If you go from paying an interest to earning an interest, you're in a better spot. You can save more. You can put yourself in a better position for when you want to retire. Next up, we got Glenn Henderson, real estate expert. He's going to talk about the ins and outs of the real estate market. He's going to give us the little things you need to know to make sure your experience when buying or selling is the best for you. And then by popular demand, he's going to go through the 5 tips that are going to help you sell your house for the most amount of money. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. We went through, you know what, simple debt management strategies. You know what, next week we're going to be talking about how to get started if you're a late starter when it comes to retirement savings. We're going to go through what you can do, how you can save, and how to make sure you can have the retirement of your dreams. Now, we also had Wayne Dunlop before. Again, we're looking to reschedule Todd Palmer, from the author of Sucks to Success. What a wonderful hero's journey that is. And you know what? Right now we have Glenn Henderson. Okay. Glenn has been helping people buy and sell real estate for decades in the San Diego area. You've seen him and heard him on local and national radio and TV. He's going to help us understand the real estate market, but you know what? We're pretty much halfway through the year here, and the real estate market's been crazy. And you know what? We're expecting some things to happen here in the latter half of the year. And we have Glenn here to talk about those little things that are happening, whether you're a buyer or seller, you want to listen to this. And backed by popular demand, Glenn's going to be talking to us about the 5 things you need to do to make sure you sell your house for the most amount of money. So Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on again today.
I'm glad to have you here. I mean, this real estate market is something that everybody's like going, wow. And the reason why I say that is, and I told you about this, you know, a couple of days ago, where my neighbor, for kicks and giggles, because Zillow only said his house was worth 800, he put it on the market for 975, sold it for 1.1. Yes, you know what, he'd redone the insides and stuff like that, but it's just crazy the amount of money that people are paying for real estate. The question is how long do you think this is going to last?
You know, that's a really good question. And that's one that we're all trying to figure out. And it's really hard to say. There's so much buyer demand right now. And we've just had over this last year, such a shortage of inventory or number of homes on the market that it just really, that's what set this in motion. And now, through the pandemic, people's views of what is important in a home and what they need in a home changed a lot, from, you know, outdoor space to needing more space because people are working from home now and different things. So it just, it created this perfect storm where we still have a lot of people and a lot of demand for homes right now. And then we have a lot of people that are trying to cash out because they've done well, but those buyers are cashing out and most are still buying. So it's either you have your move up buyers that are selling and then moving up into the bigger place that they can now get that they've wanted, or a lot of people that are selling and then moving into other more affordable areas, which is, you know, fueling, you know, San Diego and the bigger metro markets have always done well, but all these other states and a lot of areas that didn't necessarily do as well are doing so much better because we have so many people relocating and bringing a lot of money with them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was speaking with a realtor from New York, and there's many people who no longer want to be part of New York City. Yeah. And their position is now one where it's going to be remote. And what they're doing is they're selling that, you know, the house they might have had for 20 years and or not, I want to say house, but their apartment or condo in New York City that they paid a few hundred thousand dollars for, but now it's worth a couple million. And they're moving out to like Long Island or other places in upstate where they're spending $1 million. But instead of having a 1200 square foot apartment or condo, they got a 3600 square foot home with everything they've always wished they've ever had before in their life. And they're paying cash for it because they're cashing out. And we're seeing people do that from the San Francisco. I just helped a gentleman who was in Foster City who bought his house 36 years ago for $210,000. And right now it's still bidding up, but it's at the $2.5 million bid mark right now. What's weird about that is Foster City was built on, I want to say, the bay, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Some of the rebar in this foundation has corroded and the buyers don't care. They're like, yeah, that's $100,000, but that's all right. We'll take care of that. So, and he's just like, you know, we're moving to our daughters in North Carolina. And we're actually, you know, just buying this massive place because I don't have any place else to put the money. So it's really interesting what people are doing and why it's happening. So what are the big trends that we're seeing now? If you're a buyer, what do the buyers have to be prepared for? What do they have to do in order to get the property they're looking for?
I feel bad for buyers right now. It's tough. It's really difficult to get a home right now. So, you know, the first and most simple is getting a lender that will actually do a full underwriting approval up front. Most lenders won't do that up front. They will just review some documents and issue a pre-approval. But if you can work with a lender that will do the full underwriting approval up front, it helps once you get to that negotiating point because it helps remove some of the uncertainty. And if you have 10 buyers that you're competing with, hopefully none are cash, and you're competing with 10, and those 9 haven't gone through a full underwriting, it gives you that little bit of an advantage with it. A lot of buyers right now, and what we're seeing in the market, almost every property is selling above listing price and there's a bidding war. So you got to be prepared for that. And you got to be prepared to be aggressive with your offering price, be willing to pay more than maybe what the recent sales in the area have been. A lot of buyers right now are removing their appraisal contingencies, so which basically means they're willing to make up the difference if the property doesn't appraise at the contract price. We're seeing that almost every property that we put on the market, we're seeing at least a couple of the buyers willing to do that. Then a lot of buyers are similar to the example you mentioned in San Francisco. They're willing to buy a property as is. They're willing to take on the problems and the defects and things like that. Now, one thing I don't recommend that we're seeing is a lot of buyers are waiving their inspection contingency altogether, which I think is very risky because, you know, a home may look great, but you don't know what's behind the walls. You don't know what's underneath. You don't know what's in the attic. So that I would never recommend. But I do, you know, the as is, as long as you're still able to do your inspections, if you find something that's, you know, really bad or going to be, you know, very costly to repair, then you can still have the ability to cancel. But removing that contingency altogether, unless you're just planning to tear down the home, is very risky. And but those are a lot of the things that we're seeing. There are some programs and there's some realtors, like for example, us, because we're I'm one of the top agents in San Diego. There's a company, HomeLight, that I work together with. They're a tech company that's focused on real estate. They've been rolling out programs to help consumers and buyers get into properties and trying to help solve some of these problems. So, for example, they have a program where we get the buyer qualified with their lender, with their mortgage company. And then they have a program where they'll actually go and buy the house cash. So we go through the negotiating process. And then instead of being a conventional finance buyer, we're able to write the offer as a cash buyer. puts us at a huge advantage over the other offers. And sometimes we're actually able to get a little bit better price on a home than if the home was, if we were doing a financed offer. So it actually saves some money. And then as soon as the transaction closes, then the buyer purchases the property from HomeLight for the same price. And then there's just a 1% fee that's involved with it. And as I mentioned, sometimes we're getting a better price on the properties where it's offsetting that 1% fee, mm-hmm. or it's just worth that extra 1% to ensure that you're getting the property that you're in love with. So it's an excellent program. HomeLight's, who we're partnered with, I know there's a couple other companies throughout the US that are doing something similar. So that's one tool that's really been helping our buyers right now. And
that's
if anybody
tool.
That's listening has questions, they can reach out to me about it and I can get them connected with a realtor in that marketplace.
You know what? It's interesting because I was talking to my neighbor about all the offers that he got and he had some guy that came in from Arizona that offered 900 and, you know, obviously that just went out the window, but they had a look at all the other offers. And the reason why they went with the highest one is because the person had, I think it was $1 million down and they were only going to be doing like $100,000 financing. So they said, hey, this is, he's not going to have a problem getting financing and all that stuff. But that's why they went with him. Otherwise they would have went with the next one down was at 1.1 million. It's very interesting.
You know, from a seller's standpoint, when you're in control and you have all these options and all these offers, it really, it's, there's two things. There's of course price and getting the most that you can, but the other factor that sellers are looking at is minimizing risk. And risk is, you know, how is this transaction possibly going to fall out? So if you have a cash buyer or a huge down payment, like you mentioned, then that's going to minimize risk. If you have a buyer that's willing to buy as is, or they're waiving their appraisal contingency, those are items that reduce risk. If you have a buyer that's got a full underwriting, so you know that they're truly 100% qualified, that minimizes risk. So when, as a buyer, you have to think about it kind of from that standpoint, what can I do to minimize, you know, the potential risk for a seller? And that's what, you know, as a buyer's agent, we're trying to present, you know, when we're presenting offers and when we're reviewing offers.
Len, I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to break. No, that's a great answer. Stick with us. We're going to be back with more Glenn Henderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. This is the Saving with Steve Show. We have Glenn Henderson. We had Wayne Dunlop. And I just want to thank you all for joining us. I appreciate you sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories, hey, come on, join us at our YouTube page at Saving with Steve Sexton. And check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to live a life of personal financial freedom as well as uplift your soul. Now, we got Glenn coming back here. He was just filling us in on, you know what, sellers and reducing your risk. Could you kind of say that again? Because I think that's important for people to understand. Because a lot of times they go to, they hear these advertisements for, hey, we advertise, you're going to only pay 1% or 2%. But they're just dealing with somebody who's advertising. Is that right?
Yeah. You basically get what you pay for. So those discounted brokerages and those discounted operations, you know, they, it's a discounted service. So they're, you know, they'll put it on the market, but they're not helping you to you know, properly prepare the property. They're not doing everything to help you minimize that risk. They're usually very new agents that really don't understand the contracts. So there's a lot of things that, one, you potentially leave money on the table because they're not as experienced in how to properly market and negotiate. And then two, they're not as experienced in the contracts and everything to just make sure that you're fully protected and make sure that after the transaction closes, you're not going to have something come back at, and bite you later on and down the road, because that's the last phone call you want to get at some point.
Yeah, no. Not when you've already gone and somebody says you owe me money, that's not good. Yeah. So here's a question. I heard about this strategy and I wonder if you would endorse it. If you're looking to buy in this marketplace, mm-hmm. One strategy I heard was put a automatic step up to be $1,000 or $2 above what the highest offer is, up to a certain limit. Is that a worthwhile strategy, or does it work for people?
You know, it doesn't really work right now. And the reason is if you have a lot of people that are doing that same thing. So from a seller standpoint, and you receive 15 offers and five of the people put in that, we call them a lot of times escalation clauses.
Okay.
But the escalation clauses, well, if everybody's offering to then overpay what, in there, it makes it tough to just go off of that. But the one thing that it does help is if we have 15 offers and we see that a few people have said that they would go up to a certain price, they're willing to go up to a certain price. And a lot of times they'll get included in the multiple counter stage. But it, as far as in strategy to actually win and get it based off of just that escalation clause, I haven't really seen it work.
Okay, because it really depends on the ability for somebody to actually get there without problems. I mean, buy the house without problems. Their financing, that's the big determinant. Okay, so now we want to do what everybody's been waiting for. So, you know what? Even in this crazy market, people can do things that you've talked about before to help them sell their house for the most amount of money. So let's go with that, because I know everybody's been waiting for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, any home's going to sell in today's marketplace, but what we're going through is five things to help ensure you get the top dollar. The first and one of the big things that most agents don't do or sellers aren't aware of is doing a pre-inspection on the property. So going in and getting a full home inspection on the home before you actually put it on the market. So it enables us to determine if there's any issues or anything else wrong with the property that we should address prior to going on the market. That way we don't have any issues once we get into escrow. Second is then from a negotiation standpoint, once we start receiving offers, we're able to provide the initial pre-inspection, provide disclosures, everything up front, so that makes it very easy to negotiate an as-is sale. Because one thing that buyers became very accustomed to doing was using the home inspection as a second point of negotiations in a contract. And basically, they would use the home inspection to come back and ask for credits to repair items. Mm-hmm. Well, by doing the pre-inspection up front, having the full disclosures before we go into contract, it eliminates that. In some ways, what I call a game that was being played a lot of times, and it just helps to ensure we have a smoother transaction. Mm-hmm. And then second, with that is the staging component of it. And staging, I always like to clarify, means two things, or at least the way we look at it. So one is the furniture. So if you're living in a home and you're still occupying it when we put it on the market, that doesn't mean bringing in furniture, but it means us working together with you and our designer working together with you to help arrange everything, declutter, move items out. Maybe we do need to bring some furniture in to show a room the way it's designed. But it's basically to maximize the space within the home and make sure it shows in its best possible light. And then the other part of it is the curb appeal too. So little things, if it's the landscaping or maybe bringing down some bushes or, trimming trees to increase the view, little things like that. But basically the staging is, and then if the home is vacant, 100%, I always recommend staging the home. We've tested it, selling vacant or selling stage. And every time, and there's been across the nation, there's been big studies on this. A staged home will always sell for more money than a vacant home.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, everybody's got to see themselves in that home. They got to see themselves sitting in that furniture and all that kind of stuff. And if you just got bare walls, that's really hard.
It is, because really what we're trying to do is create an experience. So if you go into a vacant home, so then their mind has spent the time that they're there. They're trying to figure out, how would we set this up? What is this room used for? What are we doing? But if it's staged and everything's there, it's then more they're in and the mindset is the experience. Oh, here's where we would sit and have dinner. Here's where we would do this. And it's so then there it just feels more warm and like a family. So it just changes the overall experience in the home. And that's what we're trying to do.
Now, here's the question. Mm-hmm. Can there be too many pictures of family members?
Yes. Yep. We always recommend taking down all family portraits. Because there's one part where you want the buyers to be able to visualize themselves in the home. The second part of it, though, is they're distracting. And no matter what, if you're in a property and there's family portraits, people will stop and they'll start looking at the photos that are on the nightstand, the photos that are on the walls, wherever they are, they will start to look. It's just human nature and curiosity. And then it starts to distract from the showing. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to keep them focused on the home and the showing and that experience in the home. So that's the second reason I recommend taking them down.
Okay.
And then the third step in ensuring that we get top dollar is pricing. So there's one thing that we get asked all the time by sellers is, well, isn't it better to start higher? So then we're able to come down on the price if buyers are offering lower. And it's not so much in this market, but in any market, that's a question that we receive. And it's actually the opposite. So we want to be basically as the seller and the seller's agent, we want to keep you in the point of control in the negotiation process. So instead of buyers coming in, trying to negotiate the price down, you want to be in a position where, you know, we create a lot of interest on the property through the marketing, and then buyers need to feel that it's a good value at the price that it is. And then that gives us the ability to be able to negotiate the price up. And then in a market like we have right now, being able to create an opportunity for a bidding war, and through the bidding war and people's emotions get involved, people are much more likely to pay more for a property than if you start higher and then hope that somebody's going to come up to that price.
I see.
And then the second part with the pricing too is a home that's overpriced is always going to it has the likelihood that it's going to sit on the market. And the first 2 weeks are the most valuable 2 weeks when a home goes on the market, because that's when the whole pool of buyers that are in the market are going to come and see the property. After that, you're going to have the people that are coming new into the market or the people that have been missing out. So you're going to see the number of showings or the activity drop exponentially with it. So you want to capture those first 2 weeks. And as a home spends more time on the market, it starts to get that people start to have that preconception that there must be something wrong with it because it's not selling. So then buyers will have a different perception when they go into the property. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more cautious about it. They're not going to be as willing to offer as much. So that's the second reason why it's so important to get that pricing component correct up front.
I see. What's next?
The third is the marketing. And this is where most agents are just very passive marketers. What they'll do is they'll come out, they'll put the sign in the front, they'll put it on the MLS, put it on a couple of the major real estate websites, and then just wait to see what happens, which it'll work and it'll get the home sold in most cases, but it's not going to get you top dollar. Where we, and there's other agents as well, but very active marketers. And that's what you need, is you need to be very actively marketing a property and making sure that we create as much possible exposure for the home. Because the more eyes that we can get on it, the more people we can get into the home and get interested in it, it just increases that likelihood that we're going to have additional or multiple offers. And then through multiple offers is how we're going to generate the bidding more and then get the highest price for the property. And especially right now, between the discount brokers and then just the agents that either don't know really how to properly market or just don't care, you know, homes are getting put out there with poor photos. They're not getting marketed well. There's just a lot of things we're seeing done incorrectly. And I'll look at the properties and it's just like, wow, that seller could have easily gotten more money. They got a great price, but they could have gotten more. And, you know, the seller might not be any the wiser because they just thought that person would be the right agent, but it can make a really big difference in the, you know, in a significant difference of a few percent.
That's great. Hey, Glenn, we're about wrapping up right now. How can people get in hold of you if they're looking to sell, or if they're looking to buy, what's the best way to get a hold of Glenn Henderson?
Yep. So give me a call at 619-500-3222. So 619-500-3222. or our website is mypremierhomes.com.
Glenn, I want to thank you for being here. Get a hold of Glenn if you need to know the tips or just need somebody who's going to do a great job for you to sell your house for the most amount of money. Appreciate you sharing your knowledge with you. We'll look forward to having you back again.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Steve.
We'll see you, Glenn.
Take care. Bye.
Hey, guys, that was Glenn Henderson. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have some wonderful show for you next week. We had Wayne Dunlop. We talked about simple management debt techniques, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Be safe, be healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.